Hey, come on, put your hands together. Who's grateful to be a part of the body of Christ and a part of something bigger than yourself? That's a good thing to celebrate. Well, good morning. I'm Thomas Humphreys, lead pastor here at Rev City. And there's an envelope that you would have received if you were able to receive a bulletin this morning. And it's a legacy offering envelope. And I just want to take just a couple minutes before we get into the word and just remind you of some things and share something from my heart with you. But if you don't have one of these and you would like to have one to reference as I'm speaking about it, would you just quickly just put your hand in the air and the guys will bring you an envelope and get you one. And just keep your hands up there. And, May 6th, we're going to be coming together as a church family and bringing our offerings, bringing our very best offering to help support the renovation of our facility. And, I really appreciate those videos that many of you have been willing to come and share your heart and remind us as a church family of some things that the Lord's done in previous seasons and to stir faith over this campaign. And I really appreciate what Chet Kiefer was saying there at the end, that he appreciates, he doesn't take for granted, as a younger man, he doesn't take for granted that there was a previous generation that came before us that sought the Lord and received a vision from God and came together in prayer and in unity and in generosity and gave so that we can enjoy this building that we sit in today. And how many of you know that we can begin to start to take things for granted sometimes? And I don't take it for granted. I appreciate Chet's reminder. There's a generation before that stepped out in faith and gave generously to come and to buy this land and to develop the plans and to build this building, that now we are blessed as a generation. And when I say that, I just mean the church, that the body of Christ that's alive at this very moment. There's different ages all throughout that generation, but when I use that term, generation, I just mean us, the church that's alive and serving in God's house today, that we now have the opportunity to steward something. And so in previous seasons, the call of God was to step out and to buy land and to make plans and to build a building. And we believe as an eldership that, we've invested a lot of time, a lot of prayers, a lot of planning into this process. And we believe the call of God to us, to this generation, is to steward what we've been blessed to receive from that previous generation. And so I just want to, as your pastor, can I just encourage you with something? I don't want you to feel compelled to give. But I will. One of the commitments I do have as your pastor is to hopefully present a compelling vision. And can you see the difference? I never want you to feel compelled to give. But hopefully you see a compelling vision. And can I just tell you, Pam, what Pam Kiefer said in that video is so true and so right. The church is more than a building. The church is living stones comprised of people. But this place is an important place. Over the years, so many people have encountered Jesus. So many people have encountered spiritual family. So many people have been equipped and discipled and raised up to discover and fulfill God's call in their life. So many young people and people of all ages have gathered together in this place to be married. Families have gathered together to remember loved ones. Many, many, many important events in life happen right here in this building. So here's what I want to ask you to do as your pastor. Would you just do something simple? Pray and obey. Pray and obey. Just like Ryan Rogers was saying there, he and Kaylee, young college students living on student loans, and they prayed and God spoke. And oftentimes when we pray, because here's another thing I want to just say as your pastor, is I want to see you stretching and growing in your personal faith. I want to see you stepping into new levels of faith, new levels of calling, new levels of purpose, new levels of freedom. And so oftentimes when we pray and we say, God, what would you have us to do? Listen with spiritual ears. Don't listen with your natural mind. Because what God speaks might be something that doesn't make sense in the natural. But just like he did for Ryan and Kaylee, he will provide. God is faithful. Amen. But our part is to pray, listen, and then obey. And so can I just, the reason we wanted to give you this envelope leading up to May 6th was just to ask you to take it and just pray. If you're married, I would encourage you to make that a matter of prayer as a couple, to just seek the Lord and ensure that you're in unity. And maybe at first, if you're not in unity, just commit to continue to pray until God brings you to a compromise of what you feel like he wants to challenge you in faith to do to help to support this important vision. And lastly, hopefully you've received it, but if you have not, there's a vision book, a legacy renovation vision book that covers all the details, all the budgets, all the scope of this campaign and what we intend to do. We're going to renovate this building all throughout. We're going to renovate our grounds. Our parking lot is beginning to deteriorate and needs attention, and that's a very costly item. But if we don't do it now, it just continues to deteriorate. All the air conditioning and heating and air in this building is all original, back to the original construction of this facility, and it's very inefficient and it's starting to give us problems. There's just a broad scope of what we're going to do: renovate our audiovisual equipment, renovate our children's ministry, and our fellowship and discipleship spaces. And there's something that's said in that vision book that hopefully you'll pick up if you haven't had a chance to see it already. It says, the heart of the legacy campaign is faithful stewardship of what God has entrusted to us. It's not opulence, it says, but excellence, renewed excellence. And so I believe God deserves our first. He deserves our best. The place where we gather to worship, the place where we gather together as a family, it deserves some attention from us. And in this season, we believe that's what God's calling us to. So thank you for hearing my heart this morning. Thank you for being willing to do that very simple thing: pray and obey. Amen. And would you allow me to just pray over this season, these next couple weeks, and just over you and over the whole process? And would you just, maybe you want to just, if you have that envelope, just take it in your hand and just begin to pray and trust the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you're up to something in this church and in this city. And we're a part of this next chapter in this next season, Lord, of an amazing story that you're writing. We thank you for the previous generations and the way that faith has been stirred to step out and to pray and to obey and to live and walk by faith and to trust you, God, to provide. And Lord, we pray that would stir once again over this church family in this season, Lord, that we would trust you, God, that we would seek you and that we would hear your heart and your voice and that we would have the faith and the diligence, Lord, to obey and step out, Lord, and trust you to provide. I pray that over this church and over this campaign, Lord. I pray that over every man, woman, and couple and young person, Lord, who is endeavoring to participate in this, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness to them, God. And we pray that we would look back and we would say, it seemed impossible, it seemed like a tall order, but look what God has done. The things that seem impossible with man, they are possible with God. And so we thank you, Lord, for faith, and we thank you, Lord, that you are up to something, and it's a privilege. It is an invitation from you to partner with you, to steward and to build your house, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that this building would continue on for the next 30 years as a place that is dedicated for the glory of Jesus Christ and the building of God's kingdom. We pray that this place, Lord, would continue to be dedicated as a place where many people would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Many people would come to know the heart of the Father towards them. Many people would be saved and healed and set free and strengthened to stand in the promises of your word, and not just to stand, but begin to move forward in the purposes that you have for their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's precious people said, amen, 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 amen. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being willing to give the time to hear that this morning. If you have your Bible, turn it to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to take you to several scriptures this morning, and really excited about the word that the Lord's put in my heart, because I believe it's one of the most important and critical messages as believers to really embrace, to really catch in your heart. How many know that you can know something in your head, but it doesn't really impact you until it begins to resonate in your heart? And so I pray that this morning, that even if this is a reminder for some of you, that it begins to catch in a new way. It begins to land in a deeper place in your heart. We're continuing in our Live to Lead session, our Live to Lead series. And the big idea is this: that leadership in God's kingdom is not reserved for those with the title. It's not set aside for just a select few. The leadership in God's kingdom is a call from God for every believer, every man, every woman, every young person. And so we've been bringing messages through our life groups, and I've been wrapping them up on the Sunday following the life group week to just help you begin to grow in your leadership, God's plan and purpose and call for you as a believer. And when we began to step into this, we believe that the Holy Spirit highlighted three things that he wanted to strengthen in our lives through this Live to Lead session, that he wanted to strengthen our character. That character is the platform for the calling of God, that he wanted to strengthen us in our commitments, and he wanted to strengthen us in our calling. He wanted to begin to show us more of what he created you for and what he's called you to. And so we've been bringing messages, important messages, if we want to grow in our Christian leadership, like our understanding our identity in Christ, that so much flows from life of just really grasping and understanding just who we are in Christ, everything that he's done, to set us free from our past and begin to connect us to the future and the purpose and the destiny that he created us for. Messages like winning the battle over your sexual purity. Messages like being set free from the weight and the pain and the guilt and the shame of your past so that you can begin to run the race that God's called for you. Messages like avoiding the trap of offense that tries to trip us up in relationships and keep us from walking forward in God's call. Messages like the importance of having a godly attitude, a winning attitude, that begins to just connect you to the Spirit of God and the heart of God for what he wants to reveal, wants to do in you and use you to reveal in every place that he's called you to. And that third C, we're going to begin to shift in these next 3 weeks, the last 3 weeks of this season, we're going to begin to speak into your calling. Speak into your calling. Listen, every believer has a calling. Every believer was created for a purpose. And 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, that he has saved us and called us to this holy life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Come on, how many know that's a long time ago? But it says he saved you and called you. He saved you to call you. He did both. The grace of God didn't just save you. The grace of God saved you because he knew that there was a calling for your life. And it's not because of anything you could have done, it says. It's only because and through the free gift of Jesus Christ. We got to start to see it differently, church. The calling of God is not reserved for pastors or missionaries. The call of God is for every person. Every man, every woman, every young person. Listen, I just sense in my spirit this morning that this is in some ways, it's kind of falling on deaf ears. Maybe you're even checking out because, oh, here we go again. And I want to take a moment and just pray and ask the Lord to really show you this. There's a purpose for your life. There's a calling for your life. There's only so much that this church can and will accomplish if there's just a pastor and some elders and some Sunday school teachers that are fulfilling the call of God on their life. The idea is that we are saved and connected to the purpose of God for our life, and it goes way beyond the four walls of the church. Can you imagine if believers in this church and other believers, other churches rather, that call on the name of Jesus and are building on the truth of God's word, begin to mobilize believers and activate believers to embrace and pursue and begin to walk in the calling of God in every area of their life, in their homes, in their workplaces, in the schoolhouse, in the courthouse, everywhere in between. The difference that we could begin to make. So would you allow me to pray over our word and the rest of my message this morning? And Lord, I thank you that that's not just my heart. I'm passionate about it, but as passionate as I am about it, you're even more passionate about it. You saved us and called us to a purpose. And Lord, I pray that any of us this morning who maybe feel like we missed the boat or we've messed up too much that you couldn't use us, I pray this morning that you would use this message to show us, God, that your grace is sufficient to us. That your grace not only saves us to get us to heaven, but your grace saves us to call us to a kingdom purpose. And I thank you, Lord, that there's fulfillment that's found in that. And I pray, God, that people that might be here today and they're just going through the motion of life or just going through the motions of their faith would in a fresh or a new way begin to discover the fullness of the calling and the purpose that you called and saved them for. In Jesus' name, and all God's precious people said once again, come on, we got to see it differently. How many of you know that's true? So many people are just going through the motions in life. So many people are just hitting the snooze alarm a couple times, getting up and going to work and punching a clock and grinding out a day and coming home and plopping on the couch and ordering some takeout and falling asleep watching the news and then walking up to bed and just hitting repeat on that same day. And listen, I believe that there's, when we begin to see that everything that God's called us to, everything that God's ordained in our life is intended to be connected to his purpose, we begin to live in a new way connected to fulfillment and joy and purpose and peace and life. And that's the life that God wants for you. Regardless of your station in life, whether you're a pastor or an elder or whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're a worker in a business or the owner of a business at any station of life, there's a calling of God for you in that station. And finding and fulfilling God's call on your life is paramount. It's key to beginning to live with greater joy and fulfillment. And listen, I'm talking to you about something that transcends your job. Sometimes your job might be connected to your calling, but oftentimes your job is just a vehicle for your calling. And I believe some of us we've gotten so tied up with making a living that we've forgotten about living our life. And a job makes a living, but a calling makes a life. A job makes a living, but a calling, the calling of God makes a life. Listen, and part of the secret to happiness, if there is a secret, I believe, is beginning to commit everything that you do to the glory of God. And Colossians 3:17 says this, it says, and whatever you do or say, come on, say whatever. Do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this job that you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for this marriage you've blessed me with. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And I'm doing everything, whatever I do, whatever I say, everything I put my hands to, I'm committed to doing it today as an ambassador, as a representative, as one called to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Come on, you might think that your job is insignificant or unimportant, but I'm telling you that there's bound to be a person at that workplace that needs Jesus, and you might be the only person that is an ambassador for Jesus in this day and hour. You might be the only person who has the opportunity to go and to live. Come on, how many know that sometimes it's not what we say, but it's how we live? And we begin to go, and we don't just preach Jesus to them, although there is a time to do that with clarity. But we begin to live out. We begin to live out the gospel before people in our workplace. We begin to live out the gospel to the people that we encounter at the grocery store. We begin to live out the gospel to the parents we encounter at the PTA. We begin to understand everything God's called me to is part of the call of God for me. Listen, there's something to just committing everything that we do to the glory of God. But then there are also some specific things that God has called you to, some specific ways that he's designed you, some specific experiences that he's allowed you to have, some things that he's allowed you to walk through that are creating you and fashioning you and forming you and preparing you for some specific things that he's called you to do. And just a few verses down in that same chapter of Colossians 3, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for humans. Listen, there's something that begins to shift and change when you begin to see that that job that you are blessed to have today, you're doing it for the glory of God. You're not doing it for that boss. You're doing it to bring glory to God. Listen, there's a call upon your life. And in some ways, there are some calls that we all have to love God, to love our neighbor, to be faithful and to live sacrificially towards our spouse and towards our children and towards our families. There are some places where we all share the same call, but then there are some things that God is calling you uniquely to. And you need to be encouraged with that. And you know, I started to think about just this word call and calling and begin to think about just what we typically think of when we think about that word call. And when I just say that word call, what do you typically think about first? Your phone ringing, right? And it got me thinking about just how phones have changed over the years and how phones have changed drastically even since I was a kid. And I just started just kind of digging in and looking into the ways that phones have changed over the years. And trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. But I thought you might enjoy just looking at some of the things that I was finding as I was just digging in and doing a little research. And here's, I don't know, is there anyone in here that's old enough to remember this? Do you ever have this when you would have, if you're old enough to remember this, you would have had to have been a little kid. But this is a phone from back in the 19-teens and 20s. And just look how they've changed. This is a phone from just 10 or 15 years later. Anyone remember that one? Come on, anyone remember that? I see a few hands there. There'll be more of you raising your hand as we go through this. And then, anyone remember that? I saw a video the other day on social media, and it was of these little preteen kids trying to figure out a phone like that. And they didn't know what to do with it, you know. They didn't know to spin the little rotary dial, and they were trying to figure it out. Yeah, stay right there just for a second. So some of you had that very phone, you know, and there was, that was, is that the 70s? Is that what that represents right there, that color? Is that the 70s? I remember seeing one like that. And you know, we were at least getting, we were getting some things. We were starting to get some things right. Remember that long cord? Remember the long cord that you had? And, you know, those first ones where you were tethered right there, it was just like 2 foot of a cord, you know, and we started figuring out, like, hey, we can make these cords longer. And I remember we had one like that. It was actually hanging in our kitchen, and the cord was so long, it went down and it pooled on the ground on the floor right there. And you could go to a lot of places in the house. You could almost reach the refrigerator. And you remember, like, stretching that thing out? You remember stretching that cord out across the kitchen, you know? And you're just trying to reach in to get something out of the refrigerator. And you remember other people were kind of doing the limbo, you know, with the cord. That's so moving on, the next one here. Then you guys remember this one. That is a cellular phone for you young people. And it came in a bag, and it had all kinds of accessories. It weighed 48 pounds. You had a shoulder harness that you had to carry it with, you know. Anyone remember this one? So this one was really special to me because we had that phone. We had that very phone. And this was before caller ID. And so my brother Preston and I, we're 2 years apart. And I think that we would have been about 12 and 10 when we had this phone. And remember, you didn't have caller ID. And when the phone rang, how many of you remember it used to be kind of special when the phone would ring? Remember that? You remember like feeling like when the phone rang, it was like, someone's calling. Someone wants to talk to us, you know. And when you're 12 and you're 10, you're thinking it's a girl, you know. And you're a prepubescent teenage boy, you know. You're thinking it's a girl, you know. And so the phone rang. We had that very phone. I mean, I'm telling you, it was that very phone. And one day the phone rang in our house, and my brother and I, like any 12 and 10-year-olds did, we raced to the phone to try to get it first. And then we answered it, and we began to wrestle over it. How many of you have ever done that with a sibling? You know, wrestle over something, there's one of something, and you're wrestling over, give it to me, you know. And he thought it was his girlfriend calling. I knew that was impossible. It had to be a girl calling me, you know. So I was saying, Preston, give me the phone, you know. And we wrestled over it, and we wrestled over it, and somehow in the midst of this wrestling, he had pushed talk on the phone. And so we're continuing to wrestle, give me the phone. And he finally won he won the wrestling match. He's bigger than me. He's younger but bigger. I can still take him, though. And he won the wrestling match at that time, and he answered the phone. And my dad was in ministry at Trinity Fellowship Church of Amarillo, Texas, serving underneath Pastor Jimmy Evans. And we had wrestled over it, and he answered it, and he said, hello! And it was Pastor Jimmy. And he said, hello, this is Pastor Jimmy. Is your dad available? And my brother, this is exactly what happened. My brother goes, shut up, it's Pastor Jimmy. And this is the honest truth. I hoped maybe that Pastor Jimmy had forgotten about that until a few years ago. I was at a conference and he told the story. So what's next here? Anyone remember that one? Then kind of streamlined it a little bit. And then that one. Anyone remember that one? You have that one? The flip phone, the first flip phone. How about that one? Anyone remember that one? Now, come on, how many hands had that one? Yeah. Anyone remember Snake, by the way? Remember when you would play the game Snake on that Nokia phone, you know? And we really thought we had something going on, you know? How about that one? Anyone remember that one? Who still has that one, by the way? Come on. That's the very first iPhone right there. Changed a little, but largely unchanged. Here's the iPhone 20. And he just got the iPhone 30. He looks thrilled. So they get bigger, evidently. So listen. The way that we make calls has changed, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still calling his people to a life of purpose. Come on, say, I have a call from God. He saved you for a purpose, and he's got a plan for you on this side of eternity. Come on, I'm grateful for heaven, but he's got a plan for you on this side of eternity. And Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. Come on, there's a theme here. And that word masterpiece in the Greek is the word poema. And we get our word poem from that word. And listen, I'm just telling you, he's writing a poem and you are the poem. He's writing a story and you are the story. And there might be some good, there will be some good chapters and some difficult chapters. There'll be some exciting chapters and some painful chapters. Let him keep writing. Let him keep writing. He's writing a poem and you are his masterpiece. And the reason he saved you is to call you to a purpose. And Romans 8:28 says this, and we're oftentimes familiar and grateful for the first part of the passage, but a little bit less familiar with the second. And it says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. And look at the second half. And are called according to his purpose for them. Come on, God has a purpose for you. Come on, just say it. God has a purpose for me. So here's some truths about God's call in your life. Number one is it starts with relationship and it ends with relationship. The purpose of God, the plan of God, it all is tied to his desire to have a relationship with you. He cares more about you than what he can get from you. Well, like a good dad, when he begins to have a relationship with you and your intimacy begins to grow and he begins to learn and know and you begin to learn and know who he is, like any good dad, he just wants you to discover and fulfill the things that you were created for. But it starts and it ends with relationship. Listen, God doesn't need us, but he wants us. God doesn't need you, he chose you. And can I just tell you, you really don't have love unless you have a choice. You don't really know what love is until you have a choice. And God chose. There were other ways he could have carried out his plan. There were other ways he could have furthered and built the kingdom of God and furthered the gospel. There are a million ways, maybe a billion, he could have designed it. He chose to use us. He didn't need us. He chose to partner with us. And listen, if you really want to know about someone's character, look at the way they treat people that they think that they don't need. Anyone can treat people that they know they need, people that are important, people that might open a door for you, people that might send you a check in the mail. Anyone can treat those people good. But the true test of your character is, how do you treat people that, in your perspective, from your perspective, that you don't really need in your life? How do you treat people that are serving you? How do you treat people that the bank teller at the bank? Do you treat the bank teller the same way as the bank president? Do you treat the wait staff the same way as the sous chef that comes out to see you at the table? How do you treat people that you think that you don't need? And let me tell you, God doesn't need us, but he treats us pretty good. He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. He sent the promised Holy Spirit to fill us up and empower us to begin to discover and walk in this amazing calling that he has for our life. God's so good. He's so good. He chose us. He didn't need us. He wanted us. And listen, in the light of his example, that's the life that I'm trying to live. It's the life that I'm endeavoring to live. Every day choosing Christ. Every day waking up and say, there's a lot of different ways I could live my life today, but I choose today to serve Christ. I choose my wife today. I choose my kids today. I don't have to. It's a free country. Come on, I could go and I could do anything I wanted to. But I'm choosing because my heart has been so captured by this amazing love of God that chose me and came and called me. When I wake up, I choose to live out that calling in a way that brings honor to the one that loved me. I choose to pursue and I choose to embrace and live out God's purpose for my life. I choose to live in a way that helps other people see Jesus and encounter Jesus and meet Jesus and begin to discover his purpose and his plan for their life, for their marriage, for their family. Come on. There's some people that might not be so excited to accept your invitation to church, but they'll come with you this weekend to the XO conference because everyone has a felt need of marriage, just learning how to do marriage and navigating the difficulties of living life with your spouse. Come on, begin to live in a way that introduces others to the hope and the freedom of Jesus. Number two, Jesus calls imperfect people. Come on, that's good news for you and for me. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote a big part of the second half of the Bible that you have in your hands or on your phone or device that you're looking at today, he was an imperfect person. He knew that. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's given me the strength. He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I once was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Come on, how many of you are grateful that there's an even though for our life? I was this, and even though I was this, God saved me and called me. I made this mistake, and even though I made this mistake, God's love reached out to me and saved me and called me. Come on, the call of God, according to Romans 11, verse 29, says it's irrevocable. The New Living Translation says that the call of God, God's gifts, his call can never be withdrawn. And I love the way that the Message says it. It says that God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled and never rescinded. Come on, when God called you, he knew you'd mess up every now and then. God knew you would need grace. God knew you would need mercy. God knew about your past. He called you even though. Come on, and when we begin to discover that kind of grace, it compels us to want to grow. I don't want to be stuck in my even though. I don't want to be stuck and tethered to that past. I want to break free so that I can begin to run free into the call of God for my life. Number three, we have a part to play. We have a part to play. Listen, you can have a gift and a call from God that is irrevocable, but that you don't fulfill. You can have a call and a gift from God that he's sown into your life that's irrevocable, but that you don't fulfill. The graveyard is filled with unfulfilled potential. The graveyard is filled with regrets about things that people knew they should have done and wish they should have done and would have done if they had had the time or the resources or the courage or the faith. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person. We have a part to play. We have a responsibility. And Paul said in Ephesians 4, he said, therefore, I'm a prisoner for serving the Lord. He was saying, I've been captured by this, and I can't get away. He said, my heart is captured by the call of God on my life. And even if I try to or thought about running away from it, I'm so captured by it, I can't. And he goes on and he says, I beg you, I plead with you, he says, to live a life that's worthy of your calling, for you have been called of God. There's a life that we live that is an atmosphere and an environment for the seed of calling that God has sown into our life. And calling, if you picture it, is like a seed. And you have that seed and you're holding it in your hand, and within that seed is the DNA and the potential for an oak tree or whatever kind of tree it is, a mustard seed tree or whatever it is. And there's the full potential and calling to be a tree, but you have to place the seed in the right environment. And you have to keep it in the right environment, and you have to water it, and you have to watch out for the weeds, and you have to watch out for the birds of the air, and you have to watch out for the people that will come along and try to pull the plant out before it begins to yield fruit. There's a responsibility we have. He says, live in a way that's worthy of your calling. And I believe some of you, there's a call of God on your life, but the call of God today is to begin to live in the way that creates the atmosphere and the environment for the seed of God and the call of God and the purpose of God and the destiny of God to begin to be in that atmosphere where that seed of potential, come on, God sees the tree. God, you see the seed and God sees the tree. And he's calling you today to begin to take that seed and begin to put it in the soil of his word and begin to put it in the soil of Christian fellowship and begin to put it in the soil of gathering together in worship and prayer and begin to put it in an atmosphere of praise and prayer and worship, not just on Sundays, but in your personal life, and begin to speak the words of God over it and begin to declare the promises of God and begin to prophesy over it and begin to steward it in a way that it allows it for that seed to begin to germinate. And for those roots to begin to go down. Come on, I don't want to carry that seed of potential and purpose and calling to my grave. I want to put it in the atmosphere that God would call for it to be placed in so that it can begin to bear the fruit and the life that he intended for it to be. We're responsible in many ways for the atmosphere of the seed to fan into flame the gift of God on our life, the calling of God on our life. And our text this past week in our life groups was about Peter. Another imperfect person who was called of God. And can I ask our worship team to come up and prepare to lead us in a song as we dismiss here in a few moments. But the text of our life group message, which is a powerful message, was about Jesus calling out to Peter and John and Andrew, calling out to them to come and follow him. And there's several accounts, but we read in Matthew 4, verse 18 through 22, and it says this. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them and said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Other translation says, I will make you fishers of men. And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. And a little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. And immediately they followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Come on, I believe God wants to enter into some of the things that we do for a living. And he wants to begin to speak to us, and he wants to begin to call us, and he wants to begin to connect us to the power that he wants to give us to begin to see kingdom results. There's some things that you've been doing. There's some nets that you've been cleaning. There's some fish that you've been catching, and God wants to come alongside you, and he wants to begin to say, come and follow me, and I'll take that thing that you've been doing, and I'll begin to give you supernatural results. I'll take that thing that you've been doing, and I'll begin to show you how you can do it in a new and a different and a better way, and begin to connect it to the kingdom life that I've called you to, and begin to reach people and make a difference in the lives of others in my name. Our part is to be willing to let go. Our part is to be willing to lay down the thing that we have in our hand and say, God, I'll follow you wherever it takes, wherever we go, whatever you say, I just want to do it. My question to you this morning is, will you answer the call? There's a call for you. Will you answer the call? He said, I'll make you fishers of men. God does the making. We do the following. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. God does the making. We do the following. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people that have come before us, people that have gone before us, people that have showed us the way to live this life, that doesn't mean they were perfect. They just saw that God was faithful. And it says, because we're surrounded by this, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance. Let us begin to run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us, the race that God has called us to. What is it that God's calling you to? What is it that God's calling you to? What is it that you maybe already have in your hand that God's calling you to begin to do with his supernatural power to get different results? What is it that God's calling you to lay down today so that you can begin to pursue the call of God? Come on, I think that's a place right there. I just feel the anointing of God on that moment right there. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's just all stand. Everyone stand and let's respond to God. Let's respond. Come on, our part is to respond to the word of God. Our part is to respond to the call of God. Listen, if you're there today and you realize that there's something that you've had in your hand that you need to lay down, there's a weight that's entangled and ensnared you and kept you from running, or it's keeping you today from running in the calling of God in any area of your life, your marriage, your family, your finances, your occupation, the ministry God's called you to, something that you need to lay down. Come on. It says, throw off the things that hinder. Lay down the sin that entangles. Begin to run the race. Come on, if there's something in your life, a mindset, a fear, a doubt, a worry, an area of sin or a pattern of behavior, and you realize today, I really can't begin to run this race until I allow God to deal with this. If that's you this morning, I just want to just encourage you, do business with God. Just do business with God. Just say, God, I'm leaving it here. And in fact, I just give you the invitation to do that, to just lift your hands before the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm holding it out before you. I'm laying it down before you. The thing that has held me back, come on, if there's many things, it could be a mindset, it could be doubt, it could be fear, it could be a relationship, it could be an area of sin in your life, whatever it is for you that's holding you back from pursuing the call of God on your life, come on, just lay it down. He's not afraid of it. He knew you had it when he called you. But he's calling you to lay it down. Come on, the call to Peter was to lay it down and begin to follow. And they said immediately they began to follow. And I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to the invitation of the Lord today if you have not made Jesus Lord of your life. And today you would say, Pastor T, I don't know that I would go to heaven if I died today. I don't know that my heart is right with God. Or maybe you might even say, I know I'm not because of the way I've been living. And if that's you today, I just want to give you an invitation to respond to the free gift, the grace of Jesus Christ, this invitation that Jesus represents to a new start in life and to an amazing relationship with a good Heavenly Father that has a purpose and a plan and a call for your life. Come on, if that's you today, if that's you, you want to receive it or rededicate yourself to that, come on, just lift your hand high towards heaven. I'm not going to ask you to do anything but that. I just want to know who I'm praying for. And there's something about responding. It doesn't matter if you lift your hand, if nothing happens in your heart. But I believe there's something to you beginning to just outwardly begin to say, I'm going to begin to respond and live differently. And it starts today with me just in faith, lifting my hand towards heaven and lifting my hand in faith to receive. And so, Lord, we thank you. And come on, church family, would you just, if you're raising your hand to receive Jesus or to rededicate yourself, you're rededicating yourself to the family of God. And church family, can we all just join with these precious people in just making this declaration and this prayer? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you that Jesus came to die, to rise again, so that I might live forevermore, so that my sins could be forgiven, so that I can experience a new start in life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, can you put your hands together for those that made that commitment this morning? Come on, say it again. God has a call for me. Come on again. God has a call for me. Come on, it's a good call. It's a good plan. It's a good thing. Come on, team, lead us. And then Pastor Eli will come up and open the altar for ministry and dismiss us today.